Dear faithful, dear friends, it is a great pleasure for me to be with you this evening. It is not my first coming here in Richfield, because 11 years ago I was here for the first time in a short visit of 1 week. It was on this time the seminary with Father Sanborn and others who unfortunately left the society, and I discovered for the first time your country, your beautiful country. And now I come from a great travel throughout Canada and your country, especially Minnesota and New York State. And this evening I will speak to you about an important subject, I think, about Catholic family as a masterpiece of our reconstruction. Dear friends, our reconstruction is not only liturgical. It is not only a matter of liturgy. You are well aware it. What the conciliar church, that is the system of Vatican II, because there is only one church, the Catholic Church of ever, but what I call the conciliar church is a new conception, a new idea of a church, a false idea, a wrong idea of the church. And so what the conciliar church does no longer wants no longer, and what the conciliar church has excommunicated, it is not only the true bishops and the true priests, it is not only the mass of tradition, but it is all the bastions of the Catholic faith. And I quote only the words of Cardinal Ratzinger. Some years ago, Cardinal Ratzinger said, with Hans Urs von Balthasar, it is a theologian, but an heretical theologian, with Hans Urs von Balthasar, we must say that the most urgent thing today is the demolition of the bastions, he said. A cardinal. The demolition of the bastions. The dismantling of bastions. And what are these bastions, the bastions of the Catholic faith, the bastion of Catholicism? They are Catholic family, Catholic school, Catholic churches, Catholic mass, Catholic catechisms, Catholic civil laws, Catholic governments, and finally, Catholic states. On the contrary, we are for these bastions. We are for, and it is a mission of the Priestly Society of St. Pius X to rebuild these bastions of the Catholic faith, to rebuild the tumble-down bastions, destroyed bastions of the Catholic faith. And we have begun with Holy Mass and priesthood 23 years ago at Fribourg in Switzerland with Archbishop Lefebvre. We have continued with our chapels, seminaries, naturally, with our priories, because our priests must live a common life, a life of community. And so we continued with these priories. But this work would be totally useless if it is not continued by Catholic families and Catholic schools. Our work is a whole. One cannot divide it. Take and do what suits and reject what is more difficult or what seems more demanding and painful. No. And certainly, I think that truly Catholic families is something difficult and demanding. A bit more, I can imagine, than to say, naturally, I am with Archbishop Lefebvre, I am a traditionalist, I go every Sunday to Mass, to Latin Mass. This is very easy to say. But to engage oneself in the rebuilding of true Catholic families, it is other things. Dear Catholic parents, dear young people, dear young families, what the Catholic Church demands from you, it is to establish or to encourage new young Catholic families, truly Catholic families. And for that, I think that you need three things. You need light, that is truth about marriage and family. You need strength, that is Christian fortitude, and the necessary means of sanctification. And you need also the fire, the interior fire, the holy fire, that is dedication, zeal, on the service of this great cause, Catholic family. And first of all, the truth, the light about Christian family and marriage. Too often, I think, people have got married because il faut bien se marier, as we say in French, because one just has to get married. One just has to do like the others. Or because we love each other. Or because marriage is necessary for the blossoming of the human person. Are we told by Vatican II? Marriage would be necessary to the blossoming of the human person. I was told this in my classes at school. It was a definition of marriage I received, but I felt I might not marry because I felt I was called to be a priest, and so I thought I will never become a man. It is a ridiculous and false definition of marriage, because the consecrated virginity in a priesthood or in religious life is much higher, much more deem, much more worthy than marriage. And Pope Pius XII wrote a whole encyclical Sacra Virginitas about this subject in order to prove, to explain that above marriage is another thing which is much more high, that is sacred, consecrated virginity. So it is false to say that marriage would be necessary for the blossoming of the human person. It is a personalist idea of marriage. And thus, the Christian family is dead of natural death because one had it no longer in mind, in sight. One has got married without an ideal, a precise idea of what our marriage should be in order to realize as best as possible the ideal of Christian marriage, of Christian family. Or one has got married with a false, wrong idea of marriage, a personalist, an individualist idea, a selfish idea. I marry for my blossoming, for my good, my personal good. It is false. It is, I would say, a conciliar idea, the conciliar conception of marriage. No, let us reject these wrong ways. What is marriage according to the Creator's design, to God's design, to also to the Redemptor's design? When God created Adam and Eve and put them in the paradise, what did you want from them? He told them, multiplicate yourself, grow and multiplicate yourself, and implate Teram. Let us fill Teram. So, fill the earth. So, the marriage is done for the multiplication of the human mankind. So, and I would give the definition. Marriage is a union between one man and one woman, one and one. A union which is one and indissoluble for the whole life, in order to father and educate children, for the procreation and education of children, and to make of them elects of heaven, saints, to populate heaven with elects of God. It is the ideal, it is the object itself of the Christian marriage. Therefore, the Catholic family is normally, if God allows it, permits it, the large family, the family with many children. Christian England, Christian France, Christian America must not die for want of children, must not die Islamized. Oh yes, it is a great danger in France especially, and also in your country, to die Islamized, because the only families with many children are traditionalist families and Islamic families. It is so in France. And so the conciliar race is an endangered species, Deogratias, I would say. But it is dangerous because the Islamic people are very, very many, naturally. So, only tradition, only strong convictions are fruitful. It is a fact that demonstrate it. Liberalism, conciliarism, lead to sterility. They are sterile. The fruits of Vatican II, it is childless families, dead families. And especially, the root of the problem is the new conception of marriage given by Vatican II. It is in Vatican II. It is this new conception of marriage is written in the new codex of canon law. The canon law, you know it, it is the laws of the church, which are assembled in one codex, in one book. A book which contains all the laws of the church. The new canon law, written by John Paul II in 1984, gives a new definition of marriage, which inverts the two aims of marriage, which makes an inversion, I would say a revolution in marriage, because it inverts the two aims of marriage. The Catholic conception given by the traditional canon law gives this definition of marriage. The first aim of marriage is procreation and education of children. And the secondary aim of marriage is mutual help and remedy to concupiscence. It is reality. It is Catholic realism, remedy to concupiscence. Because what is not allowed outside of the marriage, what is sin outside of the marriage, is good and saint in the marriage, with the sacrament of marriage. So the marriage is, the second aim of marriage is remedy to concupiscence and also mutual help between husband and wife in order to elevate oneself by each other. That the first aim of marriage is children, procreation and education of children. There is a hierarchy between two aims. And this Catholic realism says that the mutual love between husband and wife, which is especially the improvement and perfection by each other, is normally at the service of the first aim of marriage, that is, procreation and education of children. If we love each other according to God's law, it is at the service of the good of our children. You understand? There is a hierarchy between the two aims, two goals of marriage. So normally, the second aim is at the service of the first aim, is independence on the first aim of marriage, procreation, education of children. I say normally because in certain cases, God allows difficult trial for parents, that is, not having children. So sometimes the parents cannot have children. It is a great cross for them. But even in this case, marriage is not useless, because there is the improvement, mutual improvement by each other in marriage. The second aim can be reached, even if the first aim cannot be reached without sin. So you see the traditional, the true conception of marriage. There is an order between two aims. The first aim is children, and the secondary aim is the good of the two spouses. So, but now there is a new conception of marriage given by Vatican II and written in the new Codex of Canon Law. I quote it. It is a new canon law number 1055. You can verify the quotation. I quote, the matrimonial pact, that is marriage, matrimonial pact, is, according to its nature, ordinated to the good of the spouses and to generation of children and education. I repeat, if you want, the matrimonial pact is, according to its nature, ordinated to the good of the spouses and to generation and education of children. You know, you understand, at the first place, Vatican II puts the good of the spouses, and only on the second place, Vatican II puts children. So children, it is secondary. We marry for our good, and children are not necessary. So pill, abortion, and so on and so forth. Because children are a thing very secondary in marriage. The essential being to love each other. It is a new conception of marriage. A conciliar conception of marriage. It is a world revolution in marriage and family. So Vatican II inverts the order of the two aims of marriage. No surprise, therefore, why conciliar families, I say, conciliar families, are childless without children. No amazement, also, on the contrary, that traditional family, that is true Catholic families, are large families, families with many children. So, dear faithful, may the predication of this truth, of this Catholic doctrine, and may also the example of many model families in the past and now, help our Christian husband and wife to discover this wonderful ideal of the large Christian family. We must pray the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Truth, He may illuminate the hearts of your young people and fill them with a desire to found, to establish new large Catholic families, if they are not called, naturally, to priesthood or to religious life, what would be much higher, naturally. But if you are not called to a consecrated way of life, normally you will marry and you must want a large family. It is your duty, as Catholic parents to be, oh yes, and especially by the sacrament of marriage, because with this sacrament, your family becomes a sanctuary. The sanctifying grace sanctify your marriage, your family, with holy baptism, all sacraments, and these families, these large Catholic families are the good prospect, the future of both church and homeland. Your country, America, must not die for want of children, on the contrary. Pope Pius XII used to say, when he met young families at Rome, he used to say to them, the church depends on the fruitful marriage. Let us retain this beautiful idea. So it was the first part of my speech this night. The truth. Christian marriage, the truth, the light upon marriage and family. Second part of this speech, Christian fortitude, Christian strength for Christian marriage. It is not easy to be married, people say. It is difficult to have children today, are we told. A family with many children, it is impossible, unrealistic, we are told. Let us reject these demobilizing slogans. The childful family, that is, the family with many children, a large family, is possible because it is necessary. And if it is necessary, it must be possible. It requires, obviously, ideas. It requires to put things in order in the scale of the values. It requires to prune, to eliminate what is unnecessary, what is secondary. It requires to get rid of the surplus, television, expensive holidays, well-to-do area, Mercedes, flat dog, and so on and so forth. It would be really ridiculous and shameful that because of such pitiful things and miserable trinkets, a Christian family draw back from the ideal and go without children and deprive itself of this very richness, children. It would be a scandal. No, sursum corda, as says the priest at Mass, lift up your hearts towards the ideal. Well, dear friends, now a few delicate matters, if you allow it. Contraception. What does the Church think about contraception, about contraceptive methods? Pill, literally, it is mortal sin. Mortal sin. Because it is directly against the first aim of marriage. To deprive willingly the matrimonial act of its aim. By artificial methods, it is mortal sin, of course. And Pope Pius XII, and after him Pope Paul VI, wrote many, many texts to condemn such artificial methods of contraception. So, but it is not only contraception which is sin and mortal sin, dear faithful, and you must be well aware of these truths. It is also birth control, that is, the so-called methods, natural methods of birth regulation, which are sin and also mortal sin if they are systematically applied without any serious and grave reason. And the married people must know these things. You have not the right to use even these natural methods of spacing out birth without serious reason, proportionated reason. Paul Pius XII says that use systematically these natural methods, I don't speak of the pill, but of natural methods, it is a sin against the meaning itself of marriage. And if you want, I can give you the exact quotation of this very important text. It is an allocution of Pope Pius XII on the 29th of October 1951. It is 40 years ago, but it is for our days now. It is written for now. He said, "The simple fact that the spouses do not pervert the natural act and remain prepared to accept the child that, despite their precautions, comes into the world, this simple fact is not sufficient in itself to guarantee the rightness of intention and the absolute morality of the reasons in themselves." And the Pope continues, "For to the spouses who use marriage and do the specific act of their state, both nature and creator impose the function of providing for the conservation of the human mankind." You understand? If you get married, normally you must provide for the preservation, conservation of the human mankind. And the Pope continues, "The society and the individual, the people and the state, the church as well, all depend on fertile or fruitful marriage for their existence in the order that God has made." That God has made this order that marriage is for the church and the people to reproduce, to multiply, for the conservation of human mankind. And Pope Pius XII goes on, he says, "It follows that to embrace the state of marriage, to make use of the faculty proper to it, and this in a continuous manner, and on the other hand, to withdraw always and in a deliberate manner, without a grave, serious reason, from its prime duty, would be to sin against the sense of conjugal life." To sin against the sense of conjugal life. To withdraw of the first aim of the natural act of marriage. So, if you are married, if you put act of marriage, you must normally provide to the procreation. And so these methods are against this providing of the conservation of human mankind, so they are mortal sin. If there are no serious reason to do so, you understand? Naturally, we know some marriage, for instance, the marriage of Saint Joseph with the Blessed Virgin Mary. Also the marriage between Emperor Henry of Germany and Saint Kunigund. They married, they exchanged on the day of their marriage the right on the body of each other, but they said, we won't use this right. We give to each other this right on the body of each other, but we won't use this right. We shall remain in virginity. Good. It is permitted, it is allowed to pray, to give oneself to God. Naturally. And it was the case of Saint Joseph and the Blessed Virgin Mary, because there was one child, and it was sufficient, because this child was God. And in the case of Saint Henry and Saint Kunigund, you know that Saint Henry was emperor, but if he had sons, these sons were not to reign after him, because it was an election. Every emperor was elected. So he had no necessity to have children. And so he consecrated himself to God to make saints things, to give goods to the poor. He was a beautiful king, an emperor, and Saint Kunigund, a marvelous imperatrix. It is allowed to give oneself to God. But it is not the normal case, naturally. If you get married, normally it is to have children. But there are some exceptions. Good. For saints. His special vocations, very rare. So, normally, if you get married, this is to have children. And if you put the act of marriage, you must not avoid children. It is amazing to see these so-called natural methods, which are only methods of avoiding children. They are married and they want to avoid children. It is a contradiction. It is a sin. And it can be a mortal sin. It is difficult to say when it is not mortal sin, when it is mortal sin. I would say, if during 3 years, a couple, husband and wife, have no children without any reason to do so. And you systematically, the act of marriage, but with methods of spacing out birth. During three years, perhaps, it could be a mortal sin, if there is no reason. And you know that Pope Pius XII gave some reasons which justificate the use of these methods of birth regulation. He said, poverty, but in America I don't admit this reason. There is no poverty. It is not possible. Also, question of house, too little house, but it is not admissible also in United States. I do not admit such a motive. There is also a question of medicine, naturally. If a serious Catholic doctor said that a mother must be ill and grievously ill, so it is a reason to space out the next birth, or even to not have children any longer, anymore, because it would be very dangerous for the life of the mother. Good. Also, other reason, if husband and wife are really unable to educate children, good, it's a reason not to have new children. But these reasons must be serious, grave, serious. So, dear faithful, normally marriage must be fruitful and with many children. And so one must confess these sins of the past and take firm resolutions, let us be courageous. It is very, 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 very sad to see the new type of the Christian family: husband, wife, a boy and a girl. And it is the typical family, typical modern family. At television, everywhere on the advertising, husband, wife, a boy and a girl. It is false. Once I was driving my car, and before me was another car. On the front seat was Mr. Dupont and Mrs. Dupont, you know, and on the back seat it was the dog. The model of the new Christian family, of the conciliar family. Mr., Mrs., and the dog. What an awful ideal of marriage, yes. So let us not go into the way of easiness. And for that, we need Christian strength, and we need the grace of God. So we need the sacrament of penance, especially, which gives us strength against these weaknesses. We need the communion, the Holy Mass. With these sacraments, we will sustain. Let us therefore pray to the Spirit of fortitude, of Christian fortitude. He may grant you, dear Christian parents, who are perhaps a little discouraged, a little disabused in front of the difficulties of the ideal, He may grant you the necessary Christian fortitude. Of course, there are sometimes cases, situations, where a large Catholic family will scarcely seem possible. No, let us not say this thing. Let us have always confidence in God's providence. Confidence. Let us pray to Saint Joseph. He will help you, surely. 2 weeks ago, I was in Quebec, and I gave a talk about this subject. And a man who is married, and he has 6 or 7 children, and his wife expects the 8th. And he said publicly, each time my wife was expecting a new child, I received an augmentation of my salary. I prayed to Saint Joseph, I received an augmentation of my salary. It was the answer of the providence, because he had confidence in God's providence. So there is no problem which could not be solved, resolved by confidence in God's providence, especially by praying to Saint Joseph. We must react against this materialistic welfare, this materialistic mentality of today, this timorous and selfish mentality, this all-planned and cramped mentality. People marry, and especially in the conciliar families, and also in non-Catholic families, people marry and say, we will have two children, and only 2 children. And you know that if they say this with a real will of doing so, this marriage is invalid. They have no right to limit the number of their children, to limit rigorously, without any reason. This marriage would be invalid. We have no right to put limits to the generosity of God. On the contrary, let us accept what God wants from us, from our families. Even if we must be criticized, be mocked, be laughed at in the streets. Oh, what is this family with 7, 10, 15 children? Ridiculous, what a scandal. Even if we must be pointed out and called insane and mad, No, by these grave diggers of marriage and family. Let us now speak a little, if you want, dear friends, about these grave diggers of Christian family. Civil laws, and unchristian governments which favor immorality and destruction of family. Some examples. In France, my country, it is well known that people living in concubinage pay less taxes than married people. And so there are bad laws, awful laws, who encourage people to remain in concubinage. Yes. And there is now a new project of law given by three socialist deputies in France, who want to institute, parallelly to the contract of marriage, a contract of civil union. You understand? That you have the right to marry, good, but you can choose another way, is a contract of civil union. It makes between two persons, I say, a community of a limited duration. A community of a limited duration. You understand this? Parallelly with marriage. You have to choose. You are free to choose. It is a legalization of the free union. Legalization of free union. It is an immorality given by law. And it is between two persons, independently of the sex. So it is a legalization of homosexuality. Abominable things. In France, in Switzerland, it is not very better. In the new matrimonial law, it is the country where I live, the new matrimonial law in 1986 settles marriage and concubinage on an equal footing under the expression of partnership. Dear married people, you are no longer husband and wife, no, you are partners. Partners. In a mere couple society of pleasure. It is so. Free of any engagement and any responsibility. In Ireland, the daily paper, the Sunday Independent, 1.5 year ago, greeted Mrs. Robinson, the new president, in these terms: "You are the product of Trinity College of Dublin." She is a Catholic, but she was educated in a Protestant college. It is not normal, not at all. "You are a product of Trinity College of Dublin. You are an advocate. You are an advocate of feminist causes. You are a champion of contraception rights. You are a defender of homosexuals. You are convinced that divorce may be authorized, and this in the most conservative society in Europe." The new president of the most Catholic country in the world. And the Times of London, at the same time, November 1991, wrote, "Conservative Irish politics are being replaced by Eastly laicist pluralistic tendency, which was not yet heard. And today, this reformist tendency concentrates its efforts in order to liberalize contraception, abortion, homosexuality, and divorce." And now, there is a very great danger that abortion be legalized in Ireland, much more than in any other country in the world, because it will be allowed to make an abortion at each moment till the birth. till up to the birth. The crime instituted, the murder instituted. Because formerly it was not allowed in Ireland. It was forbidden. And the Times of London said also, with a new president, Mrs. Robinson, it will be a larger separation between state and church, the fruit of liberalism. Liberalism, that is separation of God and politics. It leads to immorality. But also, dear faithful, also it is the Church of Vatican II which is guilty, which is a grave digger of family and marriage because of its ecumenism. Ecumenism, what is ecumenism? It is the false meaning that our Lord Jesus Christ has not only one mystical bride, that is the Catholic Church, but also many others' brides. All non-Catholic denominations, Anglican Church, Orthodox, and also non-Christian religions. The Pope in Assisi, Jesus Christ, with other representatives of other religions. So, our Lord Jesus Christ has many brides. What an awful blasphemy, naturally. But this is the meaning, meaning itself of ecumenism. But you know that the Christian marriage is the sacrament, that is a sacred sign, a sacrament of the union between Christ and Catholic Church. Saint Paul, to the Ephesians, chapter 5, says that a husband must love his wife like Christ loved his church and gave himself to her and sacrificed himself to her. So the union of husband and wife is made according to the model of the union between our Lord and his church. But it is not no longer a union between one and one. Marriage, it is exactly the same. One husband may have many wives, and on the contrary, it is a destruction of marriage. The most radical destruction of marriage. Oh yes, it is so. And also, with Vatican II, the religious liberty. Because with all false religion, said Archbishop Lefebvre, bring with themselves immorality. In the Islamic religion, it is well known that one husband can have till five wives. It is allowed. And also Protestant denominations does not recognize the indissolubility of marriage. Yes, many people in the separate brethren say we get married, but if it doesn't work, we have the opportunity of divorce. It is this saying makes of this marriage an invalid marriage. Also, it is invalid to marry with the idea of divorcing. If it doesn't work, it is invalid. Yes. So, dear friends, let us have the good idea, the true idea of marriage, and let us react against these dangers, awful dangers, which threaten the Christian marriage. Let us fight against these grave diggers of marriage. Another quotation of the Archbishop Cathal Daly, former bishop in Ireland. At the same time, 2 years ago, this bishop, Cathal Daly, said, "I don't want a Catholic state for a Catholic people." He recognized, so, that the Irish people is wholly Catholic. But it said, we don't need a Catholic state. We don't need Catholic laws for our Catholic people. What an error. It is the contrary. Catholic people needs very much Catholic laws and Catholic government. And here in America, why could it not be the case? In some states of America, there is almost a majority of Catholic. Yes. Why could it not exist a Catholic state? And Catholic laws, that is laws which encourage the religion, which encourage marriage, family, schools. Yes. And we must fight for this ideal of a Catholic state, the reign of our Lord Jesus Christ, in the politic life, in the social life. You understand? Our Lord must not reign only in the churches, in the sacristies, no. He must reign everywhere. And in the society, in the politics, yes. To have laws which correspond to the gospel, to the law of God, it is normal. It is our fight. Our Catholic fight. Then, dear friends, our resistance against Vatican II, against the modernistic Rome, our struggle against ecumenism and religious liberty, against immorality, demands from us to do something positive, not only a fight of ideas, a fight between truth and error, a fight between the faith against the heresy, but it demands from us to do something constructive, I would say, that is to say, Catholic marriage and Catholic family. And also Catholic schools, Catholic institutions, Catholic laws, and eventually Catholic states. Yes. Our fight is not only a fight of ideas. It demands from you a personal engagement of each of us, especially in the establishment of true large Catholic families. And for this fight, you need, naturally, the grace of God. Holy Mass, sanctifying grace, daily rosary, spiritual and supernatural ideal and strength, and especially these wonderful retreats, St. Ignatius retreat, which are truly rebuilding, reconstruction of families, of the whole society, everywhere. Where we preach this retreat, we remark that it is a reconstruction. So do engage yourself courageously in this basic reconstruction with Christian and truly Christian families. So it was the second part of my speech. The third part, now, if you are not too tired, dear friends, the spirit of Christian marriage, the fire, interior fire, to realize this ideal. I will speak especially about one thing, the true love towards children. How must the parents love their children? The true love toward children in the family does not feed children. It educates them. Too many children are fed, but not educated. It is the plague of modernistic families to let children do all their fancies in the name of creativity, spontaneity, and in the schools, it is the methods now. Creativity, spontaneity. They let do the children all what they want. And they call this, it is creativity. It is spontaneity. No, it is false. Because our nature is ill, is wounded by the original sin. It is pure naturalism. Naturalism. Prepare claiming an embittered and revolutionary people. Sure, Christian parents, do not abdicate your authority, said Pope Pius XII. Christian parents, do not abdicate your authority, because your children need your authority. I will say the same between husband and wife. Christian husband, do not abdicate your authority. Your wife needs your authority. It is so. It is the order, the hierarchy in the family. Your children are ill ones since original sin, and even after baptism remain the wounds of the original sin. So they need correction, that is education. Naturally, put affection in your corrections, but do correct your children in the name of your love toward them. Then, naturally, remove from your home the corrupting instruments of the innocent souls of your children. Banish from your homes television, the TV, the dirty images box, which washes the brains and perverts the hearts of your children, and of you, naturally. Kick out television. Its place is in the dustbin. Yes. So, 20 years ago, in Canada, the Béret Blanc assembled all the TVs of the street in one place and shoot in. It was an explosion, and a beautiful explosion, and also a liberation. If you do this sacrifice, it will be for you a liberation. You will be free for God, for your children. And your children will be free for God, for their good, their true good. So I will say, in a televisual home, there will be no vocation, because there is a contradiction between television and vocation, because television is the opposite of the Christian spirit. Vocation means spirit of sacrifice. Television means way of easiness, of pleasure. Many hours spent in front of the screen, in vain. It is a contradiction with the Christian spirit. So if you want, because any mother, any Christian mother in the bottom of her heart, wants to have one boy as a priest and one girl as a nun and many others, if you want to do so, if you to have so, kick out television. So let us have this courage. Be courageous, and God will reward it. He will reward you this sacrifice. In the same way, naturally, be watchful against drug. Your children could be offered to at every moment, on every occasion, everywhere, under every form, at the door of the schools, in the railway stations. Inside, trust and confidences from your children on this subject, and warn them against drug. It is now a very important thing to say, dear parents, make all sacrifice also in order to send your children to true Catholic schools, where neither their intelligence nor their virtue will be in danger, but on the contrary, where hand in hand, school and family, parents and teachers work unanimously work without any conflict on the intellectual, moral, and spiritual development of your children. It is totally abnormal that parents be constantly at war against teachers and must constantly rectify at home what their children are wrongly taught at school. And in the same way, it is abnormal that teachers must wage war against weak parents, liberal parents, who allow their children anything, everything at home. Children must see no difference between family and school. So Christian family and Catholic school are inseparable and must work inseparably. Dear Catholic parents, be prepared so to offer to God all sacrifices for the good of your children, for your children's good. You were married in the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us recall this beautiful day of your marriage. You received the sacrament of marriage in the precious blood of our Lord. Be ready so to offer your own sacrifices with the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. Sacrifice, I would say, financial sacrifice, because very often you will have to send your children a little far from home. Financial sacrifice and also affective sacrifice. It is a separation, but it is necessary for your children's good, for the sanctity, for their sanctity. It is the reason for which the Society of St. Pius X, since many years, established continually new schools, new Catholic schools, truly Catholic schools. And you have in the United States many such Catholic schools, primary schools and secondary schools, and even also in St. Mary's, a college. So let us thank God for these beautiful gifts for your families. From you, your Christian families, dear friends, if you accept sacrifices, the spirit of sacrifice, that is the Catholic spirit, if you accept it, the good Lord will make of your families sanctuaries and schools of sanctity, schools of holiness. And out of your families, the good Lord will choose for him, for his church, many noble souls, for his priesthood, for his religious life. What an exalting ideal for your families. Oh yes, it is. Indeed. What an exalting ideal, which is soon reality among us, because many of our families are large Catholic families. It was my best admiration in America, I must confess it. One person asked me, what did you like much in America? I said it is not especially the Niagara Falls. It is not especially the beautiful forests. It is not especially wonderful nature of America. It is, I must confess, your wonderful large Catholic families. Yes. But we must work for this ideal, at the service of this ideal. And if you are faithful to this ideal, the good Lord will make of your families really centuries of sanctity, with many children and many vocations. So let us pray for this beautiful ideal. And it is a grace of God, naturally. It is a gratuitous gift of God, a large family, and especially vocations. But you can pray. You must pray. We must kneel down and pray for these graces. Especially pray to Saint Joseph, pray to the Holy Family, and to realize this basic reconstruction of both church and homeland. Dear friends.